Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If we could see in the spiritual realm into our lives, you would see spiritual water flowing from you and into the lives of the people that are around you. Do you ever feel like you're not much of an influence on the people around you? Do you ever feel like God really doesn't use you that much? You do realize that in the spiritual realm, there's a lot going on.
This little light of mine is much more than just a cherished Sunday school song. It's a powerful truth that wherever we go, whatever marching orders God has given us, His Holy Spirit goes with us and speaks light and truth into the lives of those around us, all part of the enormous influence we have in the spiritual realm where we walk in His truth. Here's more from Genesis chapter 30 with Robert Furrow.
No longer was Jacob sleeping with Leah. He was only sleeping with Rachel. At least that's what we can take from this. But she said to her, "Is it a small thing that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes." So she now gives Jacob over for some roots. Jacob came out of the field. I'm betting that Jacob spent a lot of time in the field. That's what I'm betting. I'm betting that he got up early in the morning. He was out there until really late. Kind of came back in, was hoping everybody was in bed. All the kids were in bed. Jacob comes back in from the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come into me tonight. I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes." So now you get an idea of how messed up this family is. It is one messed up family. And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah. Isn't that interesting as well? God, here God is in all of this jealousy. Rachel's so jealous that she demands a child from Jacob. Leah's so envious that she names one of her concubines' children's troops as if to rub it in. Like, "I have a troop of children, Rachel, and you don't like, but it got a couple from your handmaiden, and that's it." And yet God hears her, and God gives her a child. And I think it's said here that God heard her and gave her the child so that the idea of the mandrakes would be completely out of the picture. It wasn't because of the mandrakes. So if anybody wants to sell you mandrakes to help you have a child, you laugh about that. But I'm telling you, just type in mandrakes in Google. Just type it in. And there are people, "Yes, in the Bible, mandrakes helped Leah and Rachel to conceive. And so if you're trying to have children, then buy these mandrakes." Well, it had nothing to do with the mandrakes. And anybody who's trying to make money on it has a great misunderstanding of this. And don't give them your money. So God listened to Leah. And she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, "God has given me my wages." Not quite sure why she thought a child was her wages. "Because I have given my maid to my husband." So she called his name Issachar, which is wages. Then Leah conceived. And again, you know, what names? Troop, wages, you know. And Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me." And even after all of this, our heart still goes out to Leah. She's just lonely. She just wants her husband. "Because I have borne him six sons," so she called his name Zebulun, which is dwelling. She just wanted her husband to live with her. And she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. She hung out in the kitchen. Sorry. That joke came to me while I was in the gym today, and here's what I thought when that joke came to me. I should not say that joke. That's what I thought when I thought it. Verse 22, "And God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb." So now God moves on behalf of Rachel as well. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And so she called his name Joseph, which is he has given, or he will add. Now, Joseph, a shining star when it comes to biblical characters. Out of all of the people in the Bible, Joseph stands with just a handful that has a truly godly character. And we're going to learn a lot from Joseph. A few years ago, I did a pastor's conference with Gail Irwin. I had the first slot, and I spoke, and I said what I said to you guys earlier, which was there's a few people in the Bible that nothing bad is said about them, and Joseph is one of them, Daniel's another one, to which Gail Irwin got up in the next session and said, let me tell you, and he slammed Joseph and Daniel and Samuel for his study. And you can point to certain things that they may have that are wrong in their lives, especially when Joseph is young. And yet Joseph has one bad thing happen to him after another. And if there is anybody who could say, boy, I'm not going to follow God because of these things, it would be Joseph. He gets thrown into a pit and sold into slavery. Then he gets falsely accused of trying to rape his master's wife and thrown into prison. And then when it looks like he's going to get out, he gets forgotten in prison. And then finally, God begins to move in his life in just an incredible way. But some 15 years pass, being taken away from his home. And so she conceives and she has Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served, and let me go. For you know my service, that I have done you well. So he had served him well for 14 years, and we learn later that during these 14 years, the flocks of Laban had really increased. And he had served him for 14 years for two wives, ended up with four. I don't know whether they thought that was a good deal or not. And Laban said to him, please stay. If I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name your wages and I will give it. Now Laban had discovered something, that God was blessing Jacob and that God was blessing Laban because of Jacob. I do believe that we affect the lives of the people that are around us. I do believe that our children are blessed because we are godly, because we have a relationship with Christ. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 7, that talks about our children being holy. We affect our children, we affect the people around us, because everywhere that we go, the Holy Spirit flows out of us. Jesus said in John chapter 7, anybody's thirsty, come unto me and drink, and out of you will gush torrents of living water. So that if we could see in the spiritual realm into our lives, you would see spiritual water flowing from you and into the lives of the people that are around you. You ever feel like you're not much of an influence on the people around you? You ever feel like God really doesn't use you that much? You do realize that in the spiritual realm, there's a lot going on. The Holy Spirit is touching and influencing the people of lives around you. There are angels that are working on behalf, on your behalf, in their lives. Your prayers change things. I think there's angels that respond to our prayers. I think we have far more influence on the lives of the people that are around us, on the Labans that are around us, than we even begin to understand or know. You are written letters, it said in the book of Corinthians. Written epistles, written by God and sent out in the world. The people that you work with or go to school with or spend time with, many of them will never pick up the Bible and read it, but they'll see God in you. They'll see Jesus written in your life as you live it before them. Satan would love you to think, discourage you. You're not really doing anything for the kingdom. You're not really effective for the kingdom. But that's the enemy trying to discourage you. God has you right where God has you because he has people that he wants to touch and minister to. And you're making a difference. And somehow Laban got a hold of that and said, I am being blessed for your sake. And so stay with me. Name your price. And then he said, name your wages and I will give it. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock have been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased into a great amount. And the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own family or my own house? And he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, then I will again feed and keep your flocks. Let me pass through all of your flock today, removing from there all of the speckled, the spotted, and all of the brown ones among the lambs, and all of the spotted and speckled among the goats. These shall be my wages. So I take it, because Laban agrees to this, that there are few speckled, spotted, and brown ones. And so when Jacob says, let me separate all them, those will be my wages, and I'll take care of them, he agrees to it. He says, so my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, with the subject of my wages comes, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. So he gets all the speckled, spotted, and brown ones, and if there's any there in Jacob's flocks, herds, that are not speckled, spotted, or brown, then they know that they're stolen. And so Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. He likes it. Now, Jacob doesn't trust Laban, and Laban doesn't trust Jacob. So he removed that day the male goats that were speckled, spotted, and the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had some white on it and brown among the lambs, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he put a 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and the chestnut tree, peeled the strips in them, and exposed the white which is in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters in the water trough where the flocks had come to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Now, what are these peeled sticks all about? And I love what Skip Heitzig says at this point. He says, I don't know. And I think that's probably, if every Bible commentator were honest, that's the answer that they would give. You get Bible commentators that are, yes, well, the speckled, spotted, and streaked means this and this and this. Like, they know what they are. Here's what I think. Either he is superstitious, and he's kind of being superstitious, and God honors the superstition, which I kind of doubt, but maybe. Or the Lord has spoken to him. Now, a little bit later on, he says, God revealed to me, when he's talking about his wages, God revealed to me. He doesn't say what God revealed to him, so we don't know for sure that this is what God revealed, but later on he speaks about it revealing it. I think this, perhaps, maybe, might be a point of faith for Jacob. That Jacob takes these branches and he carves them out, and I take it that he just carved strips out of them, so they had the bark on them and they had the white showing. So they looked like the spotted, speckled, and streaked goats and lambs. And he put them in front of them as a point of faith, saying that when they drink water out of here, they're going to conceive speckled, striped, and spotted, and I'm going to get more lambs out of it. A point of faith could be anything. You may say, Lord, would you heal my daughter now? You may say, Lord, would you heal my daughter when she goes to the doctor? In the New Testament, they took the sick out onto the sidewalk where Peter's shadow would fall upon them. And the Bible says when his shadow fell upon them, they were healed. When Paul was in Corinth, I think, they had sent to him for him to come and pray for the sick. He had the gifts of healings. And Paul couldn't leave. And so he took his sweat rag off, literally is what it says, gave it to them and said, go take this to them, scarf, as the King James puts it. And when they received the scarf, they were healed. Was there any magical power in Paul's sweat rag? Was there any magical power in Peter's shadow that fell upon the sick? I don't think so. I think they were points of faith. Like the woman who said, if I could just touch his garment, I know that I would be healed. That was a point of faith. I think most often points of faith for us are prayers. Lord, I'm going to pray that you would touch and heal. But a point of faith could be a lot of things. This could be a point of faith. Maybe, might, could be, maybe. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying it looks like this could be what it is. He just kind of puts them out there. Maybe God revealed it to him. Maybe God spoke it to him. It's a point of faith, and God ends up honoring it. It certainly is bizarre, to say the least. Verse 39 then, so the flocks conceived before the rods, the flocks brought forth speckled, streaked, speckled, and spotted. And so the lambs and the goats that were born all had spots and streaks and speckles, and Jacob took them and put them in his flock. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face towards the streaked and the brown in the field of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them in with Laban's flocks. And it came to pass whenever the stronger livestock conceived that Jacob placed the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutter. So now he's getting choosy. Genetics, these are the guys that I want their kids. It says that they might conceive with the rods, but when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them there. So the feeble were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, camels and donkeys. And so Jacob's home life is a bit of a mess, and his work is a bit of a mess because he is taking advantage of Laban. Is that possible? Can you take advantage of Laban? These guys have met their matches in each other. Rightfully will they say when they separate, may God watch between you and me while we're apart. Any of you guys have that little half heart that has that saying on it? That you know, the guy wears away and the girl wears, and when you're together, you put it together, God watch between us. It's really going to be ruined in a chapter or so. When you see that statement's made between Jacob and Laban, there's nothing romantic about it. Jacob didn't hold it in his fingers and think of Laban. Jacob's life pretty much is strained all the way around, and yet God moves in it, and I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. Because God moves in our lives when our lives aren't perfect. God moves in our lives in many different ways, and we can trust in him. It's certainly not making excuses. It's certainly not saying that we shouldn't seek purity and holiness because we want to, because we love him. But just to know that wherever we are today, we can find God in the midst of where we work. We can find God in the midst of our homes. No matter what our homes are like. And don't we need that? We need to have that confidence. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this chapter. Thank you that you show yourself strong to Leah, to Rachel, to Jacob. And Lord, thank you that Jacob gets the best of Laban. Lord, we consider our lives, and none of us have a perfect life. None of us have had all the twists and turns take us in directions we wanted them to go. Some of our lives we would think are are pretty much out of the realm of being able to be blessed, and yet you bless. You meet and you answer those that call out upon your name. And we remember that your word says that if we call out upon you, you will answer us. And we see you answering Leah, and we see you answering Rachel, and we see you answering Jacob. And Lord, we pray that you would answer us as we have called out to you. Work in our lives. May we not think of the marriages here, Lord. May we not put such pressure on our spouses as to think that they are the ones responsible for whether or not we are fulfilled. But it is you, our all in all, the one who indeed is sufficient for everything in our lives. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, your eyes closed for just a few minutes. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here today, you've never invited Jesus into your life. You've never come to that place where you said, I'm done living for myself. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose life and live. God has given you a choice. You can believe or you cannot. You could say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and I want my sins forgiven. And all you need do then is believing that, ask him, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and God will forgive your sins. He'll change you into a new person. He'll take away your heart of stone and he'll give you a heart of flesh. And again, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and behold, everything becomes new. Now, maybe you've started coming to church because you think, well, I want to become a Christian. Maybe you've children and you've decided I need something for them. So here you are. We're glad you're here. But you know that there's more to it than just attending church. There's more to it than just discovering the Word of God. You have to invite Christ into your life. You have to open the door. You have to receive him, as it says in John chapter 1. No one is going to make it into heaven unless they receive him. This is why Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say, perhaps, maybe, some of you guys need to be born again. He said, you must be born again. And if you have not been born again, if you have not asked for your sins to be forgiven, that can be done today in a moment as you pray the prayer. God's in the business of new beginnings. God's in the business of forgiving, restoring. So if you'd like to give your life to Christ today, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and then pray with you. God bless you, sir. Off to my right. That's great. God bless you. Off to the right there. Anyone else? All right. You can put your hands down. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.